The most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
The world's best subscription apps use RevenueCat to power in-app purchases, manage customer data, and grow revenue on iOS, Android, and the web. With RevenueCat, I can easily see my most important metrics. What are those? That's install the trial the paid, and LTV. And now they have a new paywall feature that's going to make it easy for you to build high converting paywalls and, more importantly, A/B tests without needing a new build. Learn more at RevenueCat.com. That, once again, is RevenueCat.com. Notix is an audience re-engagement service based on web and in-app push notifications that work for both desktop and mobile devices. With Notix, website app owners and marketers can share their content and interact with their audiences in a highly engaging channel, while still having the opportunity to monetize both mobile and web subscribers. Learn more by visiting notix.co. That is notix.co. What is up, App Nation? It is Steve P. Young, founder of AppMasters.com, the place you go when you want action-packed content related to helping you grow your app downloads and, more importantly, those revenues. And today, we're going to talk all about how you master Facebook ads, meta ads. You guys might have noticed I've been particularly focused on the paid acquisition side of things, especially with Meta, with the guests that I have. And today I've got a phenomenal guest for you. As you guys might be or might not be aware, when it comes to Meta, it's all about creatives. That's what really drives the performance of an ad campaign. And to break down his entire 10-step process for creative testing is Juan David. So let's bring him in. I love the music, huh? What do you think, Juan?
No, I love that. It's very upbeat, you know, yes, goes with the flow.
Just so you guys know, Juan David is a senior performance marketing manager at Admiral Media. They are an app marketing agency as well. He's got over eight years experience in digital marketing for web and app clients across the globe. He's a Colombian and he lives in Portugal right now. Exactly. And then we've got Luis. Luis, thank you. Always forget. He's from Venezuela. Luis, good to see you. We got Kevin here as well. Fod, good to see you. Pedro's here from Portugal as well. There you go.
Nice. We have a couple of neighbors.
Yeah. We got Five Live and then Nurex now is live. Yes, we're live, bro. What's up? Hey, Rex. And then Demetrius as well. All right, Juan. You want to kick it off with your creative testing framework?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thanks a lot, Steve, for the introduction. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us live. I hope that this is useful for you and you also enjoy being with us in this session. It's going to be fun and hopefully you will get with some interesting insights for your businesses. So let's start. Today, we are going to talk about the 10 steps that you have to take into account when launching a creative test, a successful creative test in Meta, but also how to properly use that for your in-app installs campaigns in this platform. So this is the blueprint to creative testing on Meta by Admiral Media. And yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
The agenda for today, we're going to talk about the common situations that we face, ultimate steps, again, as I mentioned, what are those existing approaches, what's the difference between Android and iOS in Meta, our methodology for testing the scan. This is going to be very, very important for you to know as well. If you have budget constraint issues, which is very common nowadays, we'll have some alternatives to use. And finally, some plus about how to explode the potential of a tool of reporting in Meta. So, Steve, feel free to add some comments in between. I will just start talking, and sometimes I didn't see the camera. But yeah, when we are testing, everybody, this is a must. What we are looking for, what we want when testing is, first of all, to have a fair testing. Also, to be able to get data on massive amount or massive volume of creatives, because there are some cases where we have very, very passionate designers and people who are involving, you know, every day on developing new concepts and new creatives, but we are not able to run them all and to have insights for them. So it's a common issue that most of these designers frustrate because we're not having enough data to show them, hey, your ad work or your ad didn't work, change this, change that. Mm. And this basically happens because we don't use the proper methodology to test. But this is what we are looking for, to that fair testing approach, to, again, have fast feedback as well to share with these people, these key people in every company. And after that, we're going to define clearly winners and losers so we can keep iterating on that and remove what didn't work and so on. So that is a must, but there are also some, I would say, things that we are currently facing as troubles. Yes,
please. Can we go back to the previous slide? What do you mean by massive amounts? I mean, are you saying like we need hundreds of creatives to start testing?
I mean by, let's suppose you have a massive, like 50 creatives per week developed by the creative team. So that's massive. Also, if you can go up to the 100, it will be important to classify them into categories, because you cannot test 100 different concepts at once, unless you have millions of budget, of course, it's always possible. But yeah, I mean about 50 over and so on.
Really? So you need to have like 50 creatives to be testing at all times?
No, not at all times, but I mean with massive that amounts. But normally what I have in my clients, for example, is probably three concepts, and each concept contains five variations. So it would mean 15 ads. Got it. In total, you know, that's important to mention. Thanks, Steve, because concepts is a term that we're going to handle in this meeting as a group, as a category, concept. And then we have inside the concepts, the creatives themselves, you know, each variant. So that is very important to bear in mind. Thank you, Steve.
I love it. And Erica is very excited. Colombia. Okay.
Let's go. Let's go. Vamos, vamos, muchachos.
Loved it.
Let's go now to things that happens when we are not running this properly. Of course, again, as we commented, there is unfair testing. We don't get the reliable results that we want. There are tons of unused concepts because all of the spend went to just one app. So it's kind of, bad for us.
Yeah.
It will basically give you plain insights over the same old ad one, like over and over. And that's what we don't want.
I've definitely seen the second part, tons of unused concepts, all the spend going to one ad creative.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, man. I remember for months having just one ad and designers pushing, hey, we need to drive data on the new ones.
Do you kind of just take that? Do you have a different campaign or a different ad group where you're constantly trying to test out these newer creatives so that one doesn't always get all the love?
Yeah, if you're asking to me, yes. I have had those situations. Yes, of course, it's very frustrating.
How do you like to separate that one? Is it just like a different campaign then that is specifically just for creative testing and one that is the winning campaign?
We're going there.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. All right, let's get there.
It's good. It's very good because you're on the flow, so I like that.
Okay. Love it. All right, we'll get there.
Yes. This is like the situations, a little bit of context, and here are the ultimate steps, but this is like the theory. We're going afterwards to go to the content, how to respond to the Steve's question, which is very important. So when testing, first of all, we need to think about how to develop properly these creatives, right? And we have to start from a baseline. What is that situation that I'm facing that led me to think of testing something. Again, having just one old ad, doing the same thing always. So probably this is the situation where I want to create and the baseline that I need in this process. So the hypothesis is going to help me to understand if these new concepts are going to work better or not than the old ones. And for example, if I change background or the character, would that make the difference or not? So once I have these two variables clear, I need to define the environment, which is the OS, in this case for app install, that I'm going to be testing, because this also will make the difference in reporting and analyzing things. What is going to be the language that I will be using, the market, the OS version as well, because there are tons of variables that we need to take into account when testing, because we need to make sure that everything is going to run under the same settings, to be fair with the testing for creatives in this case. For the fourth step, it's about events and optimization. Of course, what's the event that I want to achieve? We're going there when it's about setting up this for testing. How many variants of creatives am I going to run? This is part of the topic of concepts that we were talking a few minutes ago. For example, is it going to be five different variants from a single concept, or three variants from five different concepts? It's like playing with this amount of creatives that we're going to run for this test. But the idea, of course, is to have this ongoing test happening frequently, like probably having a test running every week, or several tests running, once or twice a month, you know? So it depends, of course, on the speed that we receive creatives and the creative supply. But having budget and time is also very important, because this will guide us on the process and the information that we will be getting from our tests. It's very important to define budget. Again, this is something that we're going to cover in the next few slides. This is just like an overview of the steps, but it's important to have clear here that whenever you're testing, you need to take into account that a budget is the crucial factor that is going to define if that test is worth or not. Because it depends also on the cost per action, the cost per acquisition or install that you would be having. About time, there is also, I recommend to run at least 1 week for every creative testing. But bear in mind that if you run, for example, with Android, there is a window attribution that is 7 days. And for iOS, you need to take into account the scan framework delay, which is going to vary from 48 hours to 72, depending on your version of the scan. Yeah. If it's 3, it can go up to 72. If it's 4, it was reduced to 48 because of the course values and so on, and second and third postback. But that's another story. So once I have defined my time, let's suppose 1 week, and I run the test, I wait for the window attribution to be closed, in this case for Android, 7 days before I report that back and so on. I will have my conclusion, then I can create a feedback and iterations over the winners. And do not be afraid of testing or of selecting two or three winners. Depending on the amount that you have tested, it's not mandatory to have always one winner out of 15 concepts. You can have three. If you have good data of those three and you can support that and compare with your normal ads, and it's worth, then you can also consider them as winner. Final step, deployment and repeat. As David Ogilvy said, sorry for saying a little quote here, but never stop testing, because the test will do your advertisement better. So it's always about testing. And that's why we have come up with these steps after doing the process over and over. Once we have here the ultimate steps, we need to pick the right approach in Meta. As you know, there are two ways to test in Meta, and I have put both here in a comparative table, which will basically tell us which is the pro cons based use case and when is a conclusive test. So A/B test, in my opinion, is very good when you have limited amount of ads or variations, in this case, 5. But also this is a con that plays against this approach because you can only test or pick in the A/B test tool in Meta only 5 ads compared to, for example, the amount of creatives that you can run in auction selection approach, which that means running creatives or test within existing ad sets or within separate ad sets. That's what I want to say.
Got it.
Yeah. One of the pros, of course, of A/B test, Steve, I want to highlight this, is because you can split the audience. No, you can, it's completely clean audiences. They're not going to be manipulated, so it won't be any overlap when using A/B test. I think that's a very cool feature. It's unfortunately, it's like the best feature of this approach because the other things, in my opinion, are not very, very fun and not very useful compared to the auction selection approach. So this table is very important to help us to identify which approach is the one that I want to follow. Just remember that when you select, in this case, the A/B test, you need to bear in mind that the UI power, there is like a measurement bar that will tell you what is your power, and it needs to be minimum at 80% in order for you to have a successful test. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense to run it. And how do you increase that value? By adding for example, audiences and the right setup for your test. Budget, of course, is one of the main factors here.
Yeah. Hey, Juan, when you say A/B test, are you letting Meta do all the A/B testing, or are you manually doing the A/B testing yourself?
That is Meta automatically doing. I mean, using the tool. Yeah.
Got it. I like it.
Yes. However, when it's about auction selection, it's manual approach. We do the test as marketers. Personally, my favorite approach. Because this is what we are going to discuss and this is what we are going to work on. But you have here all the pros. Only one con is that the learning will stay in the test campaign, and still that leads to the question that you asked before. The approach right now is to, depending of course on the budget that we have, but most of the learning will stay on the test campaign. And this is also one of the cons of running this approach, but also is helpful for us to train the algorithm across account-wise, you know, in terms of getting the signals that we want for the events that we care about. So depending on how we test or how we set up this test campaign, the algorithm, the other campaigns will benefit of that or not. I had one case, just an example that I run it was a couple of years ago, but I run a campaign for testing, but optimizing towards an event that I was not caring about at all. So all of the numbers and results that I was getting were good for that campaign, but when I wanted to move them to the actual business goals, it was totally different. So
yeah,
I wasn't training the algorithm for that.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard other people talk about this too, one where it's like, if you optimize for clicks, Facebook will get you clicks. If you optimize for installs, they'll optimize for installs. That might not lead to the best conversions and subscription revenue, but they will optimize for whatever event you're trying to optimize for.
Correct.
You'll get a low cost per click, you get a low cost per install, but the ROAS might not be good.
Correct. Yeah. So if I want revenue, I would need to optimize towards conversion value in this case in Meta.
Yeah. I like it, bro.
Great. So also before we move forward, it's important to define that this approach also is very useful to understand what concept in terms of creative is having most of the potential now. Because I mean, this is the idea behind all of this, what creative can help me to exit this old-fashioned creative that I have been running always. But these tests will be only conclusive once you have 50 conversions per week, no? Per ad set. So this is the rule of thumb that Meta has put and set in order to exit the learning phase. But I would say that it is not mandatory, but it can give you better guidance if you are able to fulfill with that, you know? So my advice, aim to get that, but do not be frustrated if you're not getting that. because it depends on the budgets always.
On that note, if we're not getting it, what do you suggest? Just keep going with it or just being like, okay, what do you suggest? Let's say we're spending like $100 a day and we're not getting that 50 event.
If it's among my options and it's possible to do the following thing, I will increase budgets to get the conversions. That's the first thing that I will do. Whenever you can do that, do it. If you want, and if you want to follow with better algorithm learnings, try to overcome this learning phase. If you're not because of X or Y reason, still you can use the metrics to evaluate your performance, but bear in mind that it will probably be a little bit biased because the algorithms is still trying to exit this learning process, you know? So it's still testing with higher bids in some auctions and against lower bids in some auctions. So trying to find that sweet spot of the cost per action or the conversions. So I think that that's the approach.
Top Cat's loving it. Awesome information right here.
I love you're liking it, Top Cat. let's go now to the next slide, which is about our main topic, app installs. And guys, basically, heads up here because testing in Meta is very difficult, as well as other platforms, of course, because of the limitation of a scan and iOS. Here we have Android case where it doesn't matter if I am able to get, I don't know, 50 installs a day or 20 installs a day. I will be always having, in case I'm optimizing towards trial, for example, or subscription, I will be having always the postbacks of these in-app events back to the UI and will help me also to optimize and also back to the MMPs and all the tools because there is no restriction on getting these postbacks on Android. However, as you already might know, and I know this is industry-wide well-known topic, iOS with this scan framework has put some threshold that needs to be overcome or penetrate, I would say, that is the 88 daily installs in the case of Meta. There are other platforms that have their different values. Each platform can do whatever they want, but in the case of Meta, it's 88 installs. And it's important to notice that here it needs to be across campaign. So if you're running a test campaign, you need to make sure, and if you're optimizing towards in-app event, you need to make sure that you will be getting this 88 daily installs if you're testing for iOS. Otherwise, you will not get your trial, your subscription, your purchase information back because of the threshold, you know, because of this privacy framework. It needs to happen at campaign level or between at campaign level. It doesn't matter if it happens just in one ad group or five ad groups of the iOS 14 campaign. So make sure that you have that. And this is why I have brought here the methodology of Admiral Media and also very useful chart that will help you, of course, to get the right value whenever you want to test. So let's suppose that I'm picking the auction selection approach, right? The one that I will be testing manually, as Steve also stated. And I want to run a separate campaign because I have found in my past experience, I'm talking about an hypothetical case, but based on what we have talked during this webinar. And it's, let's suppose that I already tried to run my new creatives into the business as usual, like I like to call them, campaign. Of course, these creatives are not getting any data. I'm tired of that approach. And then I say, okay, I need to do something different. Then I want to launch a new whole campaign. And this is where this chart comes. So this is one example. And let's suppose that I will be optimizing towards installs. Of course, this is an example. Just making sure that it's pure examples matter. But I need to check the CPI in this case, or my CPA in a specific market, how it's been in the past. In the past, well, yeah, last 14 days is the time frame that I would recommend to look at. These are real numbers based on scan data in terms of not the example, but the benchmarks that we are looking at. It's very expensive. I'm trying to increase a little bit the US CPI for scan, no? Not AM scan. So it's very insane. It's very insane because if I have, for example, one campaign in Germany or one campaign in Latin America, which is actually cheaper, there's the installs. Of course, the budget that I will be needing for testing will be less. But in this case, US is the top, is the most expensive market across the world, as per my experience. Probably there are a couple of others, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But US is very well known to be expensive. So let's suppose I'm going to point out the laser point because I don't want you to get lost here.
I like it. I love the laser point. It's L, bro. Just hit L on your, it's a shortcut.
Ah, look, Steve's dropping. Steve's also dropping some bombs here. Very well, very well. Okay. So we have here the hypothetical example for testing. This is the CPI that I have for US based on the scan data in Meta for the last 14 days, 70.2. So I want to run also five different concepts of creatives. Let's suppose that each concept contains five other variations. So example, concept one, let's talk about a subscription app for for meditation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my first concept is going to focus on the benefits for sleeping. My second concept is going to be focused on benefits for breathing. The next one is going to be for work. The next one is going to be for exercise. And the next one for what else? Like
anxiety.
Anxiety, exactly. So each of these concepts will contain different variations. Try not to make the variants very different from each other because it will be not helping you to actually understand what's the winning factor between, I mean, inside each concept, you know?
Love it.
So, yeah, for example, for work, I can do one example of working in a paper versus from an angle of like that. And, well, I'm just thinking ideas. Follow the idea. But that's a tip. Try to make these variants not too different from each of them, but the concepts very different from each other. So you can start having insights per also category, no? Which is also important for the future. Let's suppose I'm having five ad sets. And the length of the test is going to be 7 days, as I commented, like the minimum, 7 days just only, taking into account that scan is going to have some delays after the test is active, no? So if I do some quick calculation, we would need to invest daily 7.2 times 88. That equals 634 euros a day. That's a lot, but it is between the average of many experts also recommend. No, it's just showing you how it works behind the scenes, I would say, and why it's that amount of budget needed. So after you have defined or you have this budget, you will have of course to multiply it by five, and that will give you the daily budget for Yeah, for each asset, each asset, and therefore, if you just do the calculation for the days that you will be having the campaign active, it will give you the total amount of spend that you will need to count in order to run this hypothetical test for 7 days only. You can extend this for the longer that you want, but this is the logic behind testing in Scan.
If you actually finish your thought, and I won't finish
mine. I was just moving next to the next.
Oh, okay, good. Perfect. Then after 7 days, if we, let's say we hit that threshold, so 88 times 7, let's just do 90 times 7, 90 times 7. So we get 630 installs. So we hit that metric. Can we then lower the daily budget? Like if our maximum monthly budget is, I don't know, $6,000, can we lower the daily budget after that 7 days? Or what do you do after those 7 days?
After the 7 days, you will have already some learnings applied. So probably the CPI will lower in this case. So I think most of the advertisers should, consider not decreasing the budget, but let's suppose that we are running out of budget. So probably you can decrease it because you have already some learnings into the campaign. So to start, you have to be very strong to achieve these values, this threshold. But after you have run that, if you don't want to keep this aggressive pressure, you are allowed to decrease. Let's suppose from 100, you can decrease, in this case, from 127. You might be able to decrease probably by to 100 or 90. I mean, that's fine.
Got it.
You're allowed to do that, of course. And it's always on your decision. But my recommendation would be the more budget, of course, the more traction. And if you're able to improve the CPI and you don't have budget, you can decrease also budgets for saving purposes. So it is fine.
Got it. Yeah. It's kind of scary to run.
Yes, it is.
I know Rob from Five Live, and I think we're going to move on to the next topic about this anyways. My concern with running meta ads is the amount of money needed to do testing, as Juan just illustrated, before I can get a good ROAS. How can a newbie overcome this? So I think Juan,
perfect
in your next topic, right?
Yes, perfect question. Thanks a lot for that. So I know this is scary. So how does a constrained budget affect outcomes? You know, so it is scary. I mean, not all of the advertisers and businesses have that crazy amount of money daily to overcome Scan and to keep those rhythms, those phases. So there is options that you can avoid this. And the answer is the AEM, aggregate event measurement feature or solution that Meta has developed. And by the way, TikTok has also done a couple of weeks ago, which is called ADC in terms of TikTok, Advanced Dedicated Campaign. Also worked like a AEM campaign, but yeah.
I'm laughing because there's so many acronyms that we have to know.
Yeah. In the future, I think we're going to talk only with letters. Yeah. I'm going to increase this, the budget to get better CPI and improve my ROAS based on my AEM, and then run an ADC.
You got any questions for Meta Ads? Just talk to JDCGO.
Exactly.
Love it, man.
It's getting crazy. There's a lot of acronyms happening. So how does a constrained budget affect outcomes? So answer is AEM. And now I have for you a real iOS example for one of my clients that didn't have that crazy amount of budgets to test, because it would be very straightforward. No, once you have these Scan numbers, you will get you wait for the window attribution to close, and then you will have the data that you need to actually pick those winners, which were those winners. And that way you can upload them into the business as usual campaign and you can start testing. You can actually be more confident about what you're running there instead of just saying, okay, this is just because I like the ad, let's test it. No, you have already data that supports that decision. So, but one client that I had was having this issue of, okay, I don't have that budget, but I want to test. What do I do? Yeah. Answer, again, AEM. And here is an example in the next slide that I'm going to show. of the numbers that I got there. Turns out this was a test that I was running for 7 days, of course, where I spent just 1K. I'm going aggressive in these examples just to show you that there are ways to do things and to actually get insights. Wow. I run 7 different ads. The data, of course, the volume of budget was little. And I was optimizing towards install in this case, because the subscription in past data was very high. So I was not able to set up a test for subscription in this case. But for example, a web client, which is having purchases in their website, mm-hmm. they already have some cost per purchase defined. And this cost per purchase or cost per add to cart normally are very, are not that high, like 100 euros a subscription, you know, or it's like 16 euros a purchase, which is also useful. So you will be allowed to run tests optimizing towards those lower funnel events. But in this case, where the subscription is the main goal, and I'm not very, very familiar with that. Actually, this test run based on, based on installs. Yes, it was based on installs. Apologies. But anyways, I mean, this is an approach that I had because of the cost per subscription will be too expensive, yeah. And I need to get installs to get data on the creatives. And what I did here was to group them by a concept. I just took a screenshot from my ad tab, and here I had. This is an AEM campaign, but I had here two concepts grouped, which in this case were F and H and G and D. So they sum the 200 daily that I was assigning per ad set. But when we look at the information at ad level, of course, this will make the difference. That's why you see different numbers here. But in ad set level, it was the 200 that I was destinating for each ad set based on the logic that I explained. And here we can quickly understand, just a quick of context here, what I did for this test, and this is something that you can also apply, was to include the good performing ad. I was spending some money on that already. But I took that ad, create like a variation on that, but I consider this new variation as the new ad, as the old same ad of also always. So it was like a kind of a weird strategy, but in the end, this is all about testing. Yeah. So I picked that ad. Let's suppose I just change a little text or the background color a little bit, just to still make it different and test. And the other concepts, the other variants were more differentiated between each other. This is like an app for editing stories and reels.
Okay.
So it was like a girl talking. The other one was just like many videos coming through in the video. So they were very differentiated between each other, and I named it as A, B, C, D, F, G, H, etc.
Got it. Hey, Juan, are you doing this? I think you said it, but I was looking at the comments. But anyways, were you doing this as under one ad group?
This is a screenshot, you mean?
Yeah. Is this all under one ad group? All these ad creatives?
No. This is an ad tab, in the ad tab. So this is one campaign, but 5 ad groups.
Oh, okay.
So we have each ad group with 200 of a spend.
Got it.
Let me point out. So 200 in the A version, 200 in the C, 200 in the E, and then F and D, one ad group, and the other one was G and H.
Okay. So you had one creative per ad group.
Yes, because again, budget was very constrained in this case. So I wanted to still have at least 200 per ad group to spend. But you can actually split it in way more ad groups. I mean, if I had my budget for my client, I could create 7 different ad groups, but then it would mean 200 per 7, like,
yeah, that's not good. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between the ad groups? Is there a different targeting, or is it just the creatives itself? And I guess separating the creatives makes it so that each creative has its own room to test the algorithm, right? If you put them all in under one ad group, then the winning one would just get all the spend, right? Is that the thinking behind that?
Yes, exactly. Okay. The targeting was the same, and what happened basically was just let them to spend each variant with their own spend.
Got it.
So in the next thing, there are some other key metrics. This is something that I spotted. Version C basically worked better than version A. In this case, the old one, in quotation, I would say, with better cost per install of CPI comparing in the previous screenshot that we can see version A compared to the version C. 3 cents, but still in terms of percentage looks also good. And cost per trial is the most amazing one, which is trial started. Version C, it's...
Yeah, I can look at it too for you.
Yeah, okay, customer success subscription was in the main the business goal, so it's the most important metric. But 14 versus 100 is good. So the results were very good, but there are also some other metrics that we can look at when testing, and it's the VCR, video completion rates.
Right.
In this case, how many of the I think you know this metric, so I think it doesn't need many introduction. But there is one metric that I like to use a lot, which is the thumb stop rate, which means when a user is scrolling after the seeing the video. So it's like 3 seconds of video play. And then just they scroll. So it's important to notice when the user is leaving and having this, the higher, the better.
That's, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Juan. It's like you read my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
The higher, the better there.
The higher, the better. Exactly.
I love it.
So what happened next in this case? We launched this in the normal campaign, and the results were impressive after the first week. We were able to achieve 12% less CPI and 44% cost per trial compared to the old performing ads. Let's suppose I have one performing ad in that ad group, and then I launch the new ones. And these new ads help me to achieve better results. For some reason, Meta is picky, but Meta decided to allocate spend on these new ads that were winners in the test campaign. So it's interesting how the algorithm works. And in this case, it was in favor of us. And of course, this leads to awesome results, like 13% more of installs and 75% more of trials when we talk about volume.
And the winning creative was the one that you highlighted in red.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Exactly. So showing up these numbers is very encouraging. I think there is a lot to do in Meta, because also the freedom that you have in the platform allows you to test a lot and to pick the approach that you want. But in the end, many options, if you don't know how to handle them or you get confused a little bit on how to properly set something, you will end up messing up the thing and burning money, basically. So having these approaches will help you to properly test and invest the money wisely when it's about testing. It's very important.
I like it. All right, well, let's speed through some of the rest stuff. I think we're on the last one, and then
yes,
I got think a bunch of questions for you.
Okay, let's do it. Yes, let's do the question first, I think. Yeah.
Now let's go through this one. I like this.
Okay. So I think this is a little bit outside the testing part. It's more how to get most out of Meta UI. And in the reports tab, as you know, there are some custom columns that you can create. This is also helpful when advertising or when grouping creative concepts. So I think this is going to be useful for you in the sense that if you have a good naming conversion, or if you are, let's say naming your ads properly, like concept one, reels, version A, and so on, you will be able to classify them into the reporting tab through the custom dimensions. And if you are able to do so, you will have insights per concept. Like I put here, concept split. In this case, the reels this is not for the test. This is just a longer time frame, but it's showing you how do I report back the creative concepts to the creative team. So whenever the creative team asks me for, okay, we need to understand what concept is working better, I just say, okay, do more reels, but also bear in mind the presets or the bit scene, because they can have some potential in terms of CTR. CTR is also an important metric that we need to take into account when creative testing.
Are you underlining the 1%, because that's the percentage we're trying to aim for? 1% click-through rate?
Exactly. This is very good, and also it's a reason to consider a concept promising.
I like it. I know your team is in there answering questions as well, but you're the star one, so I'm gonna ask for your opinion. All right, Stella says, have you experience with Facebook Conversions API, the CAPI? I don't seem to have proper postback data to Meta Ads Manager. I don't see close to half of the installs in Meta Ad Manager reporting, but I see it in my MMP.
Yes, I have experience on the Conversion API, and it's very very strange that you're not seeing it in the Facebook UI, but you are in the MMP. Sorry, yes, put the question there. I didn't see close to the half of the installs in the Meta Ads Manager reporting, but I see it in the MMP. Okay, I think I'm thinking about probably you're having the integration well done. Is it for Android or for iOS? That's the first thing I think about. But Conversion API would mean, I would need to deep dive better on that question. Yeah.
All right. And then Stella says, should any subscription app try anything else than app install app campaigns? Purchase the install goal is more interesting for apps that try to earn money on ads. I don't know if I'm understanding that, but I'll let you go. And I think I know what he or she's talking about.
A subscription app try anything else than app campaigns? Purchase the install goal is more interesting for apps that are trying to earn money on ads. No. When you are referring to apps that are interesting in earning money on ads, is that having ads within the app or through the ads manager? Because if it's through the ad manager, I think there is another option to try out, which is the sales campaign. Mm-hmm. And there you can also actually select the OSs or the devices that you want to run the campaign. So you can try something else that app campaigns, and it's the sales campaign. But the install goal would be for apps that are trying to increase their user database. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question. Sorry, it's kind of.
I think you know, your team regarding Meta, I think what we definitely want to, they already answered this attribution stuff, but the thing that I want to point out, ideally we want to try to go aim for purchase, right? Like value-based optimization. So trying to aim for people likely to start a trial. Those are things that you want to do versus the install. The install is just to test out the creatives. I think that's what Stella is asking. That's my guess. Yeah. Okay. And then Daily Workout says, learn app development or hire someone. Daily Workout, it's up to you. I tried to learn it in the very beginning. I learned enough to make my first few apps on my own. And then I got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Better to hire somebody who's a lot better than me for this. So it really depends on your goal. If you want to learn app development, do it. If you're like, I just want to make apps and try to earn a living off of apps, then just hire somebody else and use your talents elsewhere. That's how I would say it. All right. Let's see if we can go through. Nurek says, is Meta Ads cheaper than Apple Search Ads? What do you think, Juan?
For acquisition in iOS, yes. For brand terms, but depending, if you're a gaming campaign, if you're a gaming app, probably not. Because gaming doesn't work for Apple Search Ads that much.
Yeah, for Apple Search Ads, it's getting expensive. It is a pretty decent ROI, but like at the same time, it's getting pretty expensive. So Nurex, this is a question I get all the time. It really depends on the app, right, Juan? It really depends. You're going to have to test it out.
Depends. Test it out and use brand terms in Apple Search Ads and probably you get better.
All right. I like this question from Lucas. It says, hey, everyone. Steve, Juan, when is it time to protect the app legally? I mean, the images used inside stories, etc. In the MVP while scaling with ads, what's the best practice?
Time to protect the app legally.
Lucas, I would say when you're big enough, bro. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Right now. So when you're big enough, protect it. Otherwise, come on. There's other things that you got to be worried about. Just scale and revenues, ROI, and all that stuff. Juan, can you give three examples of hooks used in creatives that are performing well?
Yes. Good question. One of the hooks that are working well for me is this is why your current assets or your current skincare doesn't work. This will basically catch people because they want to know what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Another one is, for example, this is going to blow your mind, you know? You're scrolling and then you say, this is going to blow your mind, blah, 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 storytelling happening. So I like this kind of approaches that help you to catch the attention. There are some visual effects also using lately for some hyper-casual games where you just start seeing some crazy animation and then the ad starts, but you already are seeing the ad after 5 seconds and you don't realize that. So,
got it.
Yeah, this is going to blow your mind. This is what you're doing wrong. If you have ever done A, then you're going to have B, you know, something like that. Play with psychology. I think this is the most valuable asset. Play with the psychology of the target audience.
This is for my team, Juan. This is why your ad creatives are performing really bad. There you go.
Exactly.
And then we'll clip that and then we'll put Juan's answers right after that. Stella says, have you tried the instant experience option instead of sending users straight to the app store?
Yes, it's a good interstitial section that can help you to provide more information about your business. I've tried that, but the thing is that there is a big percentage of drop of people who get into this instant experience, and then they just drop off. And probably the CTRs and the time seeing an ad and your product will increase, but after the conversion will drop. So I personally don't like to use them, but I have in the past. I prefer them in TikTok, but in Meta, not so much.
Stella's iOS, and he said, but you answered my question. My campaigns are too small. And then Stella gave some insight. My ROAS has always been worse on Apple search ads versus Meta, to be honest. The sleep app, here I have Stella's app on my thing right here. It really depends. Like if you're in a competitive space like meditation and you're competing against, you know, Calm and Headspace, it could get super expensive on Apple search ads.
Yeah. And in Apple search ads, I think if you're not big enough, I mean, I remember that one of meditation of the apps was bidding for these terms of breathing, sleep well, and so on, genetic terms in Apple search ads. Right. And the bids were increasing very, very aggressively. Like you have to spend $40 per bid, and then the algorithm just keep increasing the bids. So it's very, very expensive for genetic terms. However, in Apple search ads, what you can do is to protect your brand because it will be cheaper for you, and also you will get cheaper installs. So brand campaigns will help you, but generic, you need to have big buckets.
Yeah.
So then, Meta is better in this case. In AEM option, I think that's the way.
Cool. How do we set up AEM in Meta?
It's just a toggle that you can you can select when you're creating a new campaign for iOS. iOS 14, you just click a toggle and it will be aggregated event measurement. And that's it.
Good question, Juan. Do you still need an MMP for that, or is the Facebook SDK good enough for AEM?
What does is, this is a very good question, because actually the MMP is having issues. No, the MMP is having issues with the AEM reporting.
Yeah.
And normally they're reporting back the scan data. So this is the good conversation happening around these solutions, because most of the advertisers are not seeing their numbers of Meta SDK into MMP, but there are others that yes. So again, it depends a lot on the setup and the integration done. But for optimization purposes, AEM would make your life easier. Got because it will give Facebook more signals.
Wait, so what was the answer? I might have missed it. Do you need an MMP or are you okay with the Facebook SDK?
No, I mean, you can use MMP to have the candidate. I mean, I would recommend to use MMP, but if you're only promoting in Meta, it's fine if you just stay with the SDK.
Okay, got it. Right, AM. Love it. All right, let's get into the app audit section of the show. And I'd like to start off every... How are you on time, Juan? Can we go a little bit over?
No. It's fine. I think thanks a lot for your questions and asking them and paying attention as well. Just saying thank you, and we'll help you a lot if you are interested in reaching out to us as well. Feel free to do so. We have quite experience doing this kind of things. Yep. And also, it's my first time live, so it's, apologies for my nerves in some cases.
No, but come on. Everybody loves you. What are you talking about? Love it. All right, here it is. If you want to go check out Admiral as well, I put that up in the QR code. Just have to hit rewind before that. All right, let's get into the dad jokes. All right, Juan, there you go. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
I can start if you want.
Oh.
Okay. Where do cows go on dates?
Where?
Movies.
All right. I like it. Jay. All right. And then one, what did dad say to mom? Well, let's say, I'll just say me. What did I say to my wife when I bought her the wrong kind of flower?
What?
Oops, a daisy. There you go. All right. Put S if you thought my joke was better, and put J if you thought Juan's joke was better. And then we're playing for drinks when we meet up eventually. How about that?
Yeah. That's spending. We need to do a couple of drinks. So another one.
Hold on. We're going to let Rob even has some jokes. So Rob, thank you for your jokes. I like it. I like how the audience is already doing that. Well, no, we'll go to round two. We're going to let them go. All right. We're doing app audit. If you guys want your app featured in a future live stream, go to appmasters.com/audit, appmasters.com/audit. All right, we had Fod. Oh, yeah, he said, my turn. All right, Fod, yes, you've been waiting patiently for his app right here, and I'll bring that to the stage. He needs his help. My customers are starting trial and then canceling trial before it ends. He's got a resume builder. They might just need it for a one-time use basis then. I see. Okay, shall we get into the app then, Juan, since that's what his question is all about, and we're short on time?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. So we know it's a resume builder. His problem is they're starting it a trial, but they're canceling pretty soon after. Okay, so let's get into the app. Okay,
so the onboarding. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would fix the spacing here, but all right.
Okay. Apply for a job.
I like this. I like all of this. This is good.
Multiple selection. Yes. Good.
Okay. This is all good. So I'm going to put this for now.
I would add like how many steps are left in the onboarding.
I like that. Choose your plan.
I think that, okay.
I'm going to try this real quick. Yeah. $6 a year. I guess he removed the trial now.
I would also add, I'm not sure if they removed the trial, but I would like to add also like a percentage discount. What's the difference in terms of percentage between the yearly and the quarterly?
It feels too cheap to me, Juan. What do you think? Like $6 seems really, really cheap.
It is very cheap. I was thinking that.
We did a case study with a resume builder back in the days. A friend of mine, he reached out. He's like, hey, Steve, I added onboarding during the some screens before the onboarding and the paywall. But what you can do is I like the no trial aspect of things because obviously there might be some one-time use case things. But I might just add a weekly plan and a yearly plan and then play around with that. Not having trials probably better for you, but maybe even play around with the lifetime option that is close to a yearly plan so that you can get people to pay for it. But if you're going to help me get a job, you're probably worth more than $6.
Yeah, true. I would also change a couple of things here in the paywall. The text of the benefits is in gray. It's all almost mixing with the background white. I barely can read them.
Yeah.
Access all resume templates in white. I would highlight a little bit more the benefits of being premium.
Yeah. Play around with all of this. I think right now what I do have data on is, like I've been saying before, and Juan, I love your take on this. I don't think right now we've actually seen higher prices. So Fad, let me know what the higher prices was, because he said, I'm struggling with conversion, so I lower the price to try to increase it. Sometimes it works, but you have to look at your competitors and what people are used to paying for an app like this. And that's how you compete. Obviously, the more you charge, the less customers you need to make more money. So at a $6, like let's just pretend you're only going to get a percentage of people buying that. So it's you have a very low break-even cost per install metric. So you're never going to be able to scale at a $6 rate, right? Unless you get VC and you're going for something else. So try to increase the price, because we actually seen something different. Sometimes conversions go up when your price increases as well. So you're gonna have to play around with all of this stuff, but I think the higher pricing. And then if you are concerned, I've seen other apps do this where I'll hit an X. Let's see what happens. One. Okay, they do a discount.
Okay.
And this is where you can put a discount. 12% offer is nothing, right? This is when you go 99, like 10 bucks for a lifetime. That's when you can do something like this, where you can do a discount right up front. I know I've been talking about discounting work, but this is why I would start with the higher price point in the beginning, because then you can offer a bigger discount and then get them to try to do that. But yeah, you said his competitors are 3 times his price. There's a reason why they're 3 times your price. Okay. Hit allow.
Yikes. Oh, that screen. I don't like that screen of the...
This one?
Yeah, too much text. Yeah.
Way too much. And then the buttons like underneath the fold too.
I lose the I would probably put these buttons on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And reduce the benefits. Try to make few words out of each bullet.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it. And look, if you're trying to compete, I know Fod, you said, you know, CV builders are very competitive keywords. What are suggestions to compete with the big boys? Like really try to find the niche as much as possible. I've been talking about this recently, and I know Nurex put a thing in their comment, but like I'm of the mindset one, especially for indies, it's not like if I have a good idea, I'll build it. It's if people are searching for it, I will build it and nobody's competing for it. And so it's really trying to find the right keywords and going after that. So let's say just a resume builder as an example. I'm going to pull it up real quick on AppFollow, my favorite tool. So I'll pick one of these. This is the best way to do keyword research. Come in here. I'm going to try to pick something like this. Right. So one thing you might want to try, Fod, is resume AI. You know, I just think the AI term is the next big thing. So think about something like that. And then resume builder is the biggest one, super competitive, resume builder free. So maybe you want to be right here, AI resume builder, it's 30. And so what we need is a search score of around 30. We built a 6-figure business going after those terms. So if you're trying to compete with the big boys, maybe you go after these terms, cover letter or CV maker, which I know CV is more popular worldwide. In the US, we use resume, but I know CV worldwide, everybody uses that. But maybe you go CV maker instead of resume builder. Because what's the point of going after the resume builder with just 5 ratings, right? So resume template is another one. Resume samples. So these are all different keywords that I would try to go after, CV resume, versus what you're going after right now. And then let's just poke around and see what AI resume builder comes up. Let's see if the search... Yeah, see resume AI. See, as you can see, 195. So there's less competition than resume builder. So you can already see this person's going after it. Just that's what I'm saying. Like, so you can go CV AI and try to go after that term and really go through it. And then there a couple of videos ago, Fod, go watch that video where I talk about the growth hack, and then I call it the greatest growth hack in the world. And I think this app is prime for that type of thing? Because I'm going to assume you don't have per user costs. Like if I give you 1 million users, your costs are going to probably remain the same regardless. So if that's the case, then go watch that video as well. All right, Juan. Anything else you want to cover with this app?
So far, no. All good.
Cool. Let's get into the more important stuff. Who won that dad joke round? All right, we got, thank you, Rob. Louise, thank you, my brother. Bud. Shane gave it to you. Hey, Shane, good to see you, Nurex. All right, I think I barely won that. 4-2. All right, Juan, so far you owe me a drink. Let me go into Rob since he put it in there. Rob says, why was the music streaming app upset? Because it had a ton of cached problems. There you go. That might be a Rob original. All right. Let's go for round two.
Okay.
Okay. What you got, Juan?
Okay. How do Darth Vader like the toast?
How?
On the dark side.
You couldn't even finish it.
It's like Star Wars.
I'm gonna change my sound effect a little bit. I want to play around with the sound effects. Okay, here we go. Juan, what country is filled with very bad singers? Very bad singers.
I don't know. Which country?
Singapore.
No, I know.
All right. Put S. Same rules apply. Put S if you thought my joke was better. Put J if Juan's joke was better. And then we'll go into the last app audit. It is Blake's app store conversion and possibly keyword rankings. Okay. Let's get into Blake's app. He's got pretty decent ratings. He got 784. And then it's a shared calendar, shared family planner app. All right. From an ASO perspective, anything you're seeing on your end, Juan?
I like the video that you have in there. Mm-hmm. I would add more screenshots. I'm not sure if that's all the screenshots that we have. Oh, no, we have a lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All the features. The reviews are very good. So yeah. I think maybe you're missing the premium features. I will communicate them as well in there.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Probably. That's a good idea. I like the badge of trust of that you have in the second screenshot, trusted by. We see the main USP.
Yeah, what would you do,
Steve?
Yeah, I would change this third because, you know, the video is taking up one, two. And so in search results, this is pretty much saying the same thing, in my opinion. So you want to lead with organize your family. I get it. Okay, so I'm searching for family planner and I see this, but I want to surprise them with something else. So if you know that, like, what is your client's, you know, customer's favorite feature, I'm assuming you have a pretty good number of users, then move that up to the third one. You know, one, the way I like to think about it is that first screenshot should always mimic what target keyword you want to go after with some social proof, and then give them, you know, some core features, USP, and then like surprise them with something else that they weren't expecting within your app. And so that's what this is pretty much the same as this, in my opinion. So it surprised me with something else that I'm not expecting that you think I would love. And
I think, yeah, the flow of the colors of the backgrounds, jumping from blue to black, mm-hmm. and then again to blue and then to black.
Yeah.
I think we would go organize that. Maybe in a degradé, that would be nice.
You want them to be all one color versus multiple colors?
No, maybe just in a more organized way, like going from blue to black instead of blue, black, you know, maybe that flow would be more attractive.
I like it. Okay, cool. Yeah, and then from a keyword perspective, let's just take a look. So again, I really love this AI trend. I think there's really a lot of room. So you can go like family AI, but let's go family planner, since this is the keyword that you're going after in your title. So cozy. So I try to look for something that doesn't belong, Juan. So like, let's assume Family Planner has a lot of volume, but Maple only has 474 and you have 784. So they're obviously doing something better than you. So I'm going to click on there. And then this app follow is going to look at the Apple search ads recommendation for keywords, and it's a great way to do keyword research. And so it might be shared family calendar, family organizer. Family planner doesn't have a whole lot of traffic, which may be the reason why you're going after it. But then there should be better. If that's the reason, then you should be in the top, right? If the keyword isn't that much high volume and it's because it's low difficulty, then you should be higher up in the rankings for that particular term. And so I would lead with family calendar or family organizer in that first screenshot. You kind of are doing it with easily organize your family, but then maybe go after family organizer instead of family planner. So I would do organizer right here, you know, planner's fine, but that's what I would do. And then let's look at the Spanish Mexico localization real quick, which helps the US App Store. Oh yeah, this is bad. Social calendar. Come on, like this is where you would go after family organizer instead of social scheduler. I just don't think reminder, meet friends, groups. This is just bad ASO, like on that end. Just, you went from.
I see also in AppTweak that for this category, calendar is a very, very competitive keyword, and you don't even have it in the title or the description. So
you have it here, but it's not. Yeah. So
maybe the title could be better.
Yeah. Yes. Way better than whatever they had.
Scheduler. Yeah.
Scheduler. Yes. Yeah. At least put calendar here. I know it's super competitive, but still way better than the social scheduler.
Yeah. And planner as well.
Yeah. Planner, organizer. So there's a lot of from an ASO perspective that you can do here. All right, Juan, we're going to have to go to round three because you won that last round. J. The votes are coming in not so heavy. Come on, guys. All right, let's see. Nurek says, Dear Steve, any recommendations before I launch Friends Tracker apps? I mean, that's a loaded question, Nurek. Give me more specific questions. All right, weekly, monthly, 3 month, which one do you think works better? I think yearly always works better if I had to pick, but I would go monthly, 6 month, and I'm typically doing weekly, monthly, and yearly. That's how I've been doing it. I haven't tested different cadences. Have you tested that, Juan? Do you know?
I like a lot the combination of weekly, monthly, and yearly.
Yep. You know, the way I thought about it was weekly is for like a one-time use. And one, I'm just basing off my own experience. I paid for Strava for 1 week because I was in London. I want to go for a run and I want to see all the sites, tourist sites. So I was like, all right, Strava, give me that run. And then they're like, nope, you're going to have to pay for it. So I was like, all right, I'll sign up for the weekly. Yeah, pay you one time and then kind of unsubscribe on that end. So I think of weekly as that sense. And we see an LTV for high LTV for weekly and yearly. So that's why I like the weekly and yearly. And then the monthly is a complete decoy that I don't want anybody to buy.
I agree.
Yeah. Data shows that. Oh, okay. Here. Rob says data shows 1 week, 1 year, 1 month is best. Oh, there you go. Thank you. All right. Let's see. I think we're good. You got one more joke in you?
Let's do it.
Okay. Here's the tiebreaker.
Let me start then. Which days are the strongest days?
Which days?
Saturday and Sunday, because the others are weekdays.
All right. I like that. All right. I'll end with this type of joke. Juan, what kind of dog lives in a toilet?
I don't know. What?
A poodle. There you go. A poo.
Okay, good.
All right. All right. But Jay, if you thought my joke was better, or Jay, Juan's joke was better, and then put S if you thought my joke was better. And lastly, I will plug Juan. His website is linked up into your favorite podcast and YouTube video. So go check him out if you want to learn more about what Juan's up to. And then obviously go check out admiral.media, admiral.media, if you need any help from a performance marketing perspective as well. And I'm going to pull up that slide with a fancy QR code right here as well. So all that is linked up into your favorite podcast and YouTube description. No, Juan, I started off so strong. Looks like you're going to get the win, bro. Dang it. S. Man, Jen, you guys are all traitors. I love it. All right. Well, I owe you a drink, my friend, next time we get together. Anything I missed? That you wanna, if the audience wants to connect with you in any other way, Juan, do you want to send them anywhere else?
Yeah, okay. I mean, thanks a lot, everyone. And yeah, feel free to contact Admiral Media. Here in the agency, we have been able to manage successfully budgets very, very high. So if you want to reach out to me, feel free to go through the website, to my social media, TikTok. I play the piano, by the way, in my free time. So yeah, TikTok.
You sing too?
Yes.
Nothing.
No. Sorry, I'm kidding. That's another joke.
Spanish songs are so much sexier than English ones. Luis says, "Gracias, Juan and Steve." And then Stella says, "Meta ads question: is carousel definitely ads a good idea?"
Definitely yes, Stella. Okay.
There you go, Stella. All right, guys. Well, once again, Admiral Media, admiral.media, and then Juan's website, Juan's personal contact. If you want to reach him out there, you can go to that as well. All right. Next week, we got my boy Yash. It's spring break, so I'm not going to be around, but Yash is somebody on my team. He's one of the lead guys I have, and he's going to cover all your questions about ASA, some really interesting hacks that we just discovered, along with some interesting ASO hacks that we've discovered as well. So join us every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. I'm going to be flying to Hawaii, but don't miss me too much. I'll be back the following week as well. Juan, thank you so much, my friend, for coming on and doing this.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you guys for watching. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you.
Thank you, everyone.
Probably 2 weeks.
Bye. Yeah.
Tired of overpaying for App Store optimization? Get unlimited ASO and app marketing support to increase your keyword rankings, downloads, and more importantly, your revenue. Learn more at asomasters.com.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.